Hey, as always, please like, share, and subscribe to this channel for more inspirational videos and audios, stimulating discussions and conversations, and more. Peace and blessings. Welcome to another episode of the Scriptural Cliff Note Sessions. Hi, the Scriptural Cliff Note Sessions are available on the following platforms: Anchor, Spotify, and Apple iTunes. Follow us by hitting the follow button and subscribe so that you can hear all this important information that pertains to life and the future. Thanks. Hello. Welcome and welcome back. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your day is wonderful. I hope that the first part of your week was wonderful. And I hope that the rest of your week is eventful in a good way and great. We are still in the laws. We are truck-a-lucking along. And I want to welcome you if you're new, and welcome back to the Old Reliables. Before we get into this lore and move forward, because we are pretty much in the middle. I want to say we're in the middle, so that's what I'm going to say. But before we do that, I have some stuff to say. And here are my announcements. Now, last week, I was rambling on about necromancers and people who read the stars and all of that stuff, which the Most High says you're not supposed to do, because you know that we're on the don'ts. I also said that Shaul wanted to resurrect a prophet up so that he could talk to them. So Saul was the first king who was just awful. He was just doing all kinds of stuff. And I said that to say, the Most High says he don't want nobody reading the stars, doing the zodiac, all this other stuff. There's real clear reasons as to why. When you go to the book of the Testament of Solomon, and even in books of Genesis within the books of the regular Bible, the book of Yeshia, which is Jasher, for those who don't know, it's Yeshia, and the book of Jubilees, whereas the spiritual realm was going ham. So when you're dealing with the spiritual realm, you don't know what you're messing with. So the Most High is trying to do you a favor and say, just don't mess with none of them, because you can't see spiritual things. Remember, you're in the physical realm. You are conscious, which is a soul inside of a body, okay, which is the temple, and it can be violated, it can be tampered with, it can be antagonized, and it can be possessed by spiritual beings. Yes, it can be. Therefore, the Most High said he does not want you to mess with any of that, because you're going to open up doors that you can't close. And since a lot of people don't have the faith to cast out demons, aka devils, leave it alone. So basically, us listening and adhering, meaning you listen to the law, statutes, precepts, and commands of the Most High, and you adhere to them. You stay within the realm of those laws, and then you will be good. However, children of Israel been doing whatever they wanted to do. I say all this to say that Shaul was trying to resurrect by that witch, Samuel, and not Isaiah. I said Isaiah. I couldn't remember at the time, but I always think about stuff and redo stuff, and whatever I have to correct, I correct because I try to be as honest as I possibly can. Keep me honest, people, and I keep myself honest. I listen to my lectures, and if I said something out of place, I try to correct it. So I want to correct it and say that Shaul was trying to resurrect Samuel to get some information from him, and when he did that, he did a big violation. So Samuel told him, now for you doing that, you're going to be here with me before the day is out, you and your kids. And that's exactly what happened. So I just say that to say Shaul tried it with Samuel, and the Most High did not go for it. So that's one thing I wanted to say. And now I'm going to move forward. Hold on. I'm trying to take myself because I don't want to go overboard. Now, I want to move forward and give you some information about these laws. I want to tell you how important these laws are, especially to the children of Israel. I know there's a lot of controversy in regards to these laws, and it really doesn't have to be. I just think that since we are fast forward in the last times, the children of Israel, it's really hard to tell what you should be listening to and what you shouldn't. And I understand that the Most High is waking everybody up, and he's giving everybody's gifts of the children of Israel, everybody, males and females, the daughters and the sons of Zion. And everybody's gift is not the same. Therefore, we're not going to have the same message. Just like the apostles, they didn't have the same messages. And you can tell, no matter how similar you believe them to be, they had their own idea of what to say, and the Most High directed that. It's the same, as I said before, five people could look at an accident. Not all of the information is going to be the same. It will be similar to a point, but it's not going to all be the same because different people are watching the event. I say that to say that when the apostles went out, they had messages for various people in the different places that they went into. Damn near all of the apostles went to the lost sheep. Okay. One of the apostles went to the Gentiles. So that's what you need to understand. Shaul was the apostle that went to the Gentiles. Now, that does not mean he wasn't talking to the lost sheep, because at that time, everybody was scattered. So naturally, there's going to be lost sheep within them. However, the lost sheep already know, and they already knew what the laws were. They didn't listen to the laws, so they didn't have to keep telling them, oh, do this and do that and do this. You could be reminded, but if you notice in some of Shaul's books, it says different things. Not the same as what the children of Israel was told in the Old Testament. Okay, the rest of the apostles was telling the children of Israel what was going on and reminding them what was in the Old Testament. That's the difference. And a lot of people, maybe that's not their ministry for them to catch that and tell you that, or maybe that's not something that they experience. Whatever the case is, you can tell by the New Testament who said what and who was sent where. It's as clear as a bell. So, excuse me, that's what I want to say. I also want to tell you that I will be drinking because I'm lights in here. Okay. I'm just going to keep saying it because you're going to hear all these awkward silences, and that's me drinking. So, I'm going to be doing that and other things in the background. So, okay, I want to tell you the spiel before I move forward, and I'm gonna take my time because these words are small. So let me get my ruler and my glasses. All right. So if you ever had children of Israel, children of Israel, okay, I'm focusing on you. Second flock, you too, but you're not the children of Israel. Just saying. The law, statutes, precepts, and commands was given to the children of Israel. Okay? The law is the Most High's divine instruction in righteousness. Okay, that's why you was given it. Without which no man would have a blueprint for moral and holy living. Okay. The Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Paul Shaul said, do we then nullify the law? He said this himself. Through faith, may it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And that's Romans 3 and 13. So we, being the children of Israel, because he is a child of Israel in the line of Benjamin. So he said that they establish it. Did he say he nullified it? No. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Excuse me, through faith? May it never be. Okay. And that's just in the regular English language. So understand that the law was not nullified. Yeshua said he came to fulfill and not nullify. So understand that. Excuse me. Hold on. Also know that thus far, I have already read the 248 positive mitzvot, which are the commandments, which are the do's. That's already done. If you want to go over that, or if you have not heard that, please go onto the platform library, take your pick of any of the lectures, and please do yourself a favor and start listening and learning. Now, I want to give you some rules to go by. Excuse me, while, hold on a minute. Okay, so the rules that we are going to go by, simply because I had to clear my throat. Anyway. The rules of the laws, statutes, precepts, and commands, which are the 613 laws of the children of Israel, they're not in any particular order, just how they came out of my head. So we are going to move forward and we are going to talk about the rules. Number one, the laws, statutes, precepts, and commands build character, ethical, and moral. Okay? Just like the law itself said, it's divine instruction in righteousness. So they build moral and ethical character. Okay? This is why the Most High did what he did. I already told you before that somebody got to care about you to worry about what you're doing. Okay? It's hard to run after people, but guess what? It's easy to leave you alone to your own devices. Yeah. Especially if you're doing stuff you don't have no business. I already told you, heaven and earth will testify. It's not going to be a joke either. But anyway, number two, the law is made for sinners, okay? And is given to the children of Israel as a guideline to gauge behavior, okay? Number three, the law was taken by the heathens and used throughout the whole world. Yes, it was. And if you do not believe that, then I think you should just go to the book of Daniel and find out who the last world rulers were and find out what's happening today. Number four, there's laws all over. The laws of nature, the laws all over the world, the law for every living thing. Okay? That's what the Most High made, laws for everything. So nobody could say that they don't have to listen to no laws, okay? Because the Most High made laws for everything. And this is why there's so much chaos, because people believe that they don't have to listen to any laws. Like, if there's no laws to govern anything, there would just be chaos and mayhem, period. Because people are heathenistic, straight up. If there was no laws, people would be devoured like animals. No lie. So people really need to just really think about things. Think about things. You know, just you can't say stuff all willy-nilly, not giving things some real serious thought. Rule number five, Shaul went to the Gentiles. Now, I don't believe I need to say that 4 and 5 times. I already discussed that a few times. Sha'ul was ordained to come and to be the apostle to the Gentiles simply because in the testament of the 12 patriarchs, his patriarch, Benjamin, ordained it in the testament of the 12. Now, you can look that up because I did the whole testament of the 12. And he was ordained to be there at that time, doing whatever he needed to do to the apostles so that he can be the apostle to the Gentiles. You see how powerful the Most High is, which is the Lord's. The Most High did all of this before the foundation of the world, honey, from his foreknowledge. Are they not laws? Yes. Foreknowledge is putting everything in. The Most High is making it happen. You got to understand and conceive the magnitude of this thing. It's huge. So understand that Shaul went to the Gentiles. This is not by chance. The Most High made all of this happen before the foundation of the world. Understand it. I know a lot of people can't receive it or conceive it. I get it. I get it. But I'm going to help you. Okay, and I'm gonna explain to you the way that the Most High is explaining it to me. All right. Rule number six, Deuteronomy 28 accompanies the laws. So if somebody is saying you don't have to listen to the laws, why are you so enamored with Deuteronomy 28? For those people, and I'm only saying for those people who said that they don't have to listen to the laws. Why is Deuteronomy 28 such a big issue? Okay, I'm gonna tell you why it's a big issue in regards to understanding the laws, but some people just feel like they could bypass the laws and just deal with Deuteronomy 28. No, Deuteronomy 28 is blessings and curses. Now, why would there be blessings and curses if there was no stipulations that accompanied it? I don't get it. Anyway. I say that to say the blessings and curses chuck-a-luck along with the laws. Understand that? No, there should not be any confusion about it. Number seven, those that follow the law must live in them. Okay? Leviticus 18, 4 and 5. And the last one is Yah's word goes out and does not return void until the consummation of time in regards to the laws. So understand that and know. All right. The Most High intricately put everything together. And there's a lot of people that's not going to be able to receive, conceive, accept anything that the Most High does. And that's fine. Because the Most High knows that we are nothing but a blade of grass and a puff of smoke. So if the puff of smoke is concerned and upset, does that really matter to the Most High? Ask yourself that. Okay? In regards to being angry and what you don't like. Anyway, with that being said, we have moved on to the don'ts. And I am currently in the category of blasphemy because last week, we did several of them. And there were some things that I had to correct back last week, too. So we got everything together and now we're moving along smoothly. So, in regards to the laws, while I'm reading these laws, I will also do commentary if I need to, but I need to let people know whether it's open, whether it's to be observed, or whether it has been fulfilled by Yahshua. Okay? Now, we are, hold on. I'm marking my territory so that I can put these tabs here so I can read them. Okay, so just hold 1 second and let me Crap. I need something. Okay. All right. So we are going to start, and we're in the category of blasphemy. Okay. I'm trying to time myself, so I will stay within the realm of time that I want to finish. Okay. Okay, this category is blasphemy. Okay. We are on law number 60, and it's Leviticus 24 and 16. Okay. Not blaspheming the holy name of the Most High. Honey, people do that all the time. There's so much I could say about this because, oh gosh, the devil is fooling everybody. People think that they could just call God's name out and it could just be all good, even though God is not the name of the Most High. Within the realm of that book, there are certain names that were never called because they was holy. Okay, our mouths could actually say them, but the truth is there's books that let you know that you would never know the Most High's real name because he's too holy. I'm letting you know that. Okay. And these books that say that are not in the books of the Bible. They are outside the books of the Bible. The reason, I'm not going to say the reason, but I'm going to say during these world wars, like I said, nations, when they want to conquer another nation, they go and conquer the nation and they pretty much decimate everything they need to decimate, and they put into place what they want to when they're taking over somebody's land and culture and nation. Okay, they indoctrinate them, they colonize them, they abuse them, they snuff them out, meaning they do away with them, and they mate with whoever they want to mate with to mix and mingle the cultures. And the dominant culture becomes the dominant culture. And that's what it has been. However, the Most High did have a few conversations with prophets to let them know, yeah, you're gonna see some damage being done, but my children are not gonna be 100% snuffed out. It's gonna be two-thirds of the children that's gonna be taken away, and I'm just gonna have a remnant. Now, how did I come up with that? It's very important if you really want to know as much as you can who the Most High is and who you are in regards to the Most High and who you belong to. You must do some real serious searching. Okay. There's a lot of books that are very important that we should be reading and understanding. And this is how we will understand how all this crap works. And I'm not saying each and every nuance of life and whatever else. No. When you're walking in the will of the Most High and you're doing what you're supposed to do, the Most High is going to give you your gift. He's going to help you to develop the gift, and he's going to help you to maintain the gift. He's going to help you to deliver the gift and get people all on the same page. Because remember, we are all the bride of the Most High. Okay? That's what we, as the children of Israel, must understand. This is not every man for himself. We need to articulate, like I said, AKA assemble. We cannot continue to be on our own. Because this is not the will of the Most High. And trust you me, there will be repercussions in regards to all of this. Because the Most High said heaven and earth is going to testify against all of the nonsense that the children of Israel are doing. Now, how are we supposed to be judging other people when we can't even get it together? We can't. And we need to straighten up. So, like I said, and I don't want to go somewhere else because everything is connected. I could talk about one thing and just go right somewhere else simply because all of this stuff is a mess. In regards to not blaspheming the holy name of the Most High, you will never know the Most High's true name because it's not here on earth. And there's a book that says that. I just want you to know that. Okay. But I'm going to read this, and it says, "And he that blasphemed the name of the Most High, he shall surely be put to death." Now, if the Most High, if you did know the Most High's name, you would surely be put to death if you blasphemed it. So, like I said, "And he that blasphemed the name of the Most High, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him." Why? Because everybody's supposed to be on the same accord. "As well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemes the name of the Most High, he shall be put to death." You want to know how important that is and how powerful that is? There's books that just talk all about that. How the Most High's name puts the whole world together, regulates everything. Okay. And there's a few books that you could refer to in regards to that. And I'm not going to get into that because if I was just talking about that, I would. But I got other things to keep moving on to in regards to these laws. So I'm going to keep going. Okay. Because the Most High, even the angels was trying to bamboozle the name so that they could undo some of the things that was done for the children. This is why the Most High did a whole bunch of stuff before the foundation of the world. Trust and believe it. And if the Most High didn't love us, we wouldn't be here. Okay? The Most High did all of this stuff because he loved us, starting with Adam. And you see what happened there. And like I said, when Adam gave his power away and all this other stuff starting to unfurl, the Most High took a particular people to himself. That's what he did. And from there, still no more nonsense. So, like I said, as much as we know in regards to the name of the Most High, and he said his name is I Am. And that's enough for the children of Israel. And I am happens to be Yahuwah in the Hebrew language, Paleo Hebrew, not Yiddish. I am is Yahuwah. Yahusha said he has the name of his father, and his name is Yahusha, meaning Savior. I am the Savior, Yahushua. So Yahusha has his father's name, Yahuwah. There. And that's what you need to know as a child of Israel and never utter the name that you shouldn't, because it's all about listening and adhering, following direction. That's what it's about. And so far, nobody's doing it. This is what I mean about the faith. How can you just say, oh yeah, just have faith when you didn't even follow the laws, children of Israel? I'm not gonna keep going into that. Because I already beat the horse. The horse is just mincemeat. Trust me. There's no more horse. I'm not going to keep beating it. Just know that at some point, when it comes down to saying the Most High's name, watch your mouth. Period. Have some respect, some reverence. Okay? The Most High is going to get the last word out of all of us. He's gonna get the last word, and some of the people he say he's gonna laugh at, namely the heathens. So understand that and know it's time to start listening. Straight up, it's time to start listening. Okay, so Most High said he don't want his name said in vain. Don't blaspheme it, then don't do it. Period. Is that open? Yes, we should have been doing that. Okay, we probably wouldn't be in as much trouble as we are in now had we been doing it. Okay? Because in order to not blaspheme his name, we have to make sure he's in the forefront of our mind so that we won't do it. Nevertheless, people just doing whatever they want to. That's why we're in the position we're in. How important is it for you not to blaspheme? You will be put to death. So my thing is this, even though we're not in our land, we ain't over nobody. We've been conquered, dismantled, chased away, thrown dirt on the true people, hidden, all kinds of stuff we've been. Then you have to say, at least start listening to some of the lowest. And I'll say this, half the people don't even know the Most High's name. I call the Most High, and I call him the El, which is the power. And I call him all those things, but I do not call him the name that they say don't say. I just don't say it. Okay? You can still show that love and respect and that reverence without saying his name. Okay, you could say, I am, which is Yahuwah. That's what he said to Moshe. Yeah. Try doing that and stop calling him God and everything else. The Most High does not have all these names. He has one specific name, but you could call him the Most High because he is the Most High, the highest spirit you could ever get. That's what he is. The Father of spirits, the ever consuming fire. That's what he is. And those are all adjectives. Okay, just, those are not his names. Those are just adjectives that describe him. Anyway, number 61, Leviticus 19 and 12, not violating an oath by the holy name. And I'm going to talk about that. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of the Most High, for I am the El. Now, child, who you know don't swear by his name? Who do you know that doesn't swear? People be swearing all up and down. That's one thing I don't do. You can affirm, but don't swear. The Most High said, don't swear, especially by his name. Don't swear. Only the Most High can swear. He's the only one who has the power to swear. Nevertheless, people keep swearing. They have no idea what they're doing. Remember when Yeshua said, please forgive them for they know not what they do? Yeshua ain't never lied. He never lied simply because we don't know what the heck we're doing out here. We like the blind leading the blind. We just be saying all kinds of stuff, doing all kinds of stuff. That's all we do. This is why Yeshua said, please forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. They lost. We are as the children. And I want to point out too that earlier in biblical times, although the children as a whole had the laws and the Levites were keeping the laws, nobody never opened them up and looked at them and reacquainted themselves with them. And that's what the Most High said when they got into the land of milk and honey. Keep these laws in your heart, write them everywhere, keep them in the forefront of your mind, write them in your house, tell your children. That's what he kept saying. And guess what? That lasted for about a generation. Then afterwards, everybody forgot everything. And that's when they started following everybody else. You know, the children of Israel and just people in general have very short attention spans. I mean, we're like cats. And I already said this. Ah, oh, this cat could be focused on scratching your eyes out. And he's watching you very intently, getting ready to strike. And here you come with a string. And you just threw the cat right off his game by playing with the string with the cat. Now all of a sudden, all the cat is focusing on is this string. And then at that point, you can do whatever you want to the cat. Just making an analogy. That's how we are. Our attention span is nil. It's nothing. It's zip. It's zilch. It's nothing. And we need to step our game up because the Most High says we are all kinds of things. We the salt of the earth. earth we're his favorite, we the apple of his eye. He says we're all kinds of stuff, but we don't believe nothing that he says about us. Nothing. We're able to do all kinds of things, especially be in his will all the time and not be ran down and feel like, oh my gosh, I can't do it anymore. We're so lazy and complacent as the children of Israel. This is why we're in the situation that we're in. Now, Mercedes, I know that we are living in the end times and we should be a little more sweet to our counterparts and to one another as the children of Israel. But sometimes you have to be able to get that reprimand. Sometimes you have to, because all this woo 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 and coddling is not doing any good. Now, I'm gonna tell you, as a child of Israel, I love my brethren with every inch of my being. I do. My area of expertise is serving, being a servant of people, helping, guiding. That's all I ever did in my whole career. So nobody could tell me that I don't love my brethren, that I don't respect them. But I'm not going to lie to you. And people don't like the truth. I'm not going to sit there and coddle you when you don't need coddling. I'm not saying that you don't need love and support. Of course, you're going to get the love and support. This is why I'm doing what I do. But I'm not going to coddle you when you're wrong. I'm going to admonish you. And the scriptures say it too. Nobody's going to browbeat you. Nobody's going to beat you down and beat your spirit down. That's not what this is about. This is trying to get everybody on one accord. And we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it just sprinkles of children of Israel. We have to turn around and do some hard thinking and some hard doing in the Lord. We have to. So, in regards to watching what we say and watching what we do, that's something that we have to do. And it's hard for some people because we've been following the heathens for so long, but we have to change our minds and repent. That's what we have to do. And we really have to do some critical thinking. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you want more for yourself? That's what you have to ask yourself. And whatever that answer is, then you run with it. And I'm sure if Yeshua stuck his foot down here today, people will be begging to go with him. This is what you need to understand. I think another thing is that we've been so far removed from who we are as the children that we ourselves, a lot of times, we can't receive it or even believe that we are. And we don't believe that what happened biblically, in earlier biblical times, that was even connected to us. And this is what I feel like is happening. With that, I say we need to realize, recognize, and realize that we are the people. And the Most High would never wake us up at this time to do the things that we do. There's some powerful people talking. There's some powerful people encouraging. There's some powerful people admonishing. There's some powerful people that's trying to get us all together. And we need to start listening. Stop focusing on everything that's going on and focus on what you need to do as the children of Israel. That's what we need to do. And this is not easy. It's not easy because it's changing everything you've ever known. And unfortunately, what you know now is not what you should know. So your foundation is not what you should know, because you was treated as a Gentile forever, but you're not. You have so much more responsibility. You have so much more about you, and you have to rise up higher to be able to take your place as the children of Israel. And the Most High is waking people up to encourage you to do that. Okay? You're not doing it alone. So that's what people need to understand. And I don't want to keep going somewhere else with it. But these laws, they make you go somewhere else because everything is relevant. Okay. Law number 63 in the don'ts. Leviticus 22 and 32. Not profaning the holy name of the Most High. And you know some of the words that can be said in regards to the profanity referring to the Most High. So I'm not even going to have any examples. You should know better. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I'm going to say it again. Neither shall, and this is for the children of Israel, neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. For I am the Most High, which hallowed you. So the Most High made you holy, just like he's holy. But you acting like a holy butthole. That's what many of us are acting like, because we following heathens. I already told you the children of Israel follow heathens, and the heathens follow the children of Israel. And what are we doing? Going in circles. And that's something that we must stop. We must halt doing about face. Okay, do a 180 and go the other way. Law number 64, Deuteronomy 6 and 16, not tempting the Most High's promises and warnings. Ye shall not tempt the Most High, your El, as ye tempted him in Massa. Child, the children of Israel, they so stubborn. They are so stiff-necked. They so stiff-necked. Oh my gosh. I feel like this. The Most High has woo-woo-woo the children of Israel for a long time. A really long time, the Most High has. And I understand some people need compassion, but how much compassion do you need? How much? Because the Most High has shown us a lot of compassion. There's so many books that the Most High is rebuking and reprimanding heathens, and he even gave them, as much as heathens have done to the children of Israel, he still showed them compassion. So how much compassion do you think the Most High has shown his children? How far do you want the child, the Most High to go in regards to the children of Israel? Do you want the children to run over the Most High? This is what I don't understand. Like a parent, the Most High said that he gets after his children. He rebukes his children. He reprimands his children. If he didn't reprimand you, he doesn't love you. That's what he says. So reprimand is called for when it needs to be. Okay? And I understand some people need compassion, just like if you have children, you know by the character of the child who needs more compassion than whom. You know which child need to be really tore out the frame. You know which child is gonna do well and which child is just refusing to do right. You know, just like the Most High knows. So as far as compassion to people, I feel like the children of Israel that are waking up and teaching, there are some that are coming with compassion. There are some that's going to hold your hand and woo, 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 and teach you what you need to be taught. And then there's some that's going to tell you about the fire and the brimstone. That's going to tell you if you don't do right, what's going to happen. That's going to show you and read it and prove to you that if you don't get it right, you going where you don't want to go. And I believe with all my being that there are children of Israel that are assigned to do and say certain things. So compassion, I believe we all have it. But how much compassion do you need when you're going to keep running amok? Most I say he going to reprimand. And he's not going to feel sorry. And he going to be laughing at people. So, as far as compassion goes, we do the best we can under circumstances. I'm just going to say that and we'll move on. Law number 65, Deuteronomy 12, 3 and 4. Do not destroy houses of worship or holy books of the Most High. Now, that is in a New King James. Remember, I downloaded these laws, so I'm just going to go to the CIFA with this. I'm going to tell you what it says. And it says this out of the CIFA, Deuteronomy 12, 3 and 4. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their Asherah poles, which is an Asherah pole is a female god. It's an obelisk. Okay. With fire. And you shall hewn down graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of the place. You shall not do so unto Yahuwah Eliakim. Okay. So in regards to what this is saying in regular English, I'm gonna have to stay away from that. Because it's basically saying don't destroy the houses of worship or holy books. And that's not what it says. That's not what it says in the Sefer. It's telling the children of Israel to get rid of the heathens stuff that is in their temples. So in regards to that, this is why I say you got to be real careful in reading this stuff. So I'm gonna say what the Sefer says. Okay. And it says overthrow their altars and whatever else that's in your land and area, not what this says. Okay, because I don't like what that says. It doesn't, that's not what it's supposed to say. See, we got to be real careful with words that are changed. Okay. And like I said, I'm gonna say it again, and you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hewn down, let me put my glasses on. Okay, you shall hewn down their graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place, your temples. And you shall do so unto the Most High, Yael. Ye shall not do so unto the Most High, Yael. So get rid of this mess. I'm gonna keep this sefer right here because I don't like these, little change of words. You gotta be careful. We must be careful because remember, every time this Bible is transcribed into a newer version or whatever, things change and then it just throws you off. Remember, in the last days, Most High said there's gonna be a lot of delusions. He even throws a delusion because we don't listen. It's all about adhering and following his commands. Law number 66, Deuteronomy 21 and 23. Leave not body of executed criminal hanging over the. Oh gosh, they must have left some words out. Anyway, it's basically saying don't leave nobody hanging overnight. Okay? Before the sun comes down, take whatever body that's up down. Okay? And it says, and by the way, these are all open. They all open. Just because we're not in the land does not mean we don't have the respect and the reverence and the awe of the Most High, period. His body, whatever body is hung on a tree, shall not remain overnight upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is a curse of the Most High, that thy land be not defiled, which the Most High thy El has given thee for an inheritance. So being that we are not in the land anymore and we don't hang anybody, however, heathens do hang the children of Israel. So much so that in 2023, there was a female that was hung and she was a child of Israel. So don't you tell me that we are not the children of Israel. Yes. And that's open too. We're not supposed to do that. And neither are the heathens. But they continue to do it. And heaven and earth is going to testify. Okay, so it's all open. Just know that. Now I'm on another category. And this is in regards to the temple. All right. Law number 67, Numbers 18 and 5, be not lax in guarding the sanctuary, and ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath anymore upon the children of Israel. Now, let me say this. We are not in our land. We're not in our land. So I'm gonna have to say, I don't want to say fulfilled. You know why? Because something fulfilled was something that was properly closed. You understand what I'm saying? How can I explain it? I'm gonna have to explain it like that. Something that was properly closed and has come to an end. But this hasn't, because we haven't listened to the Most High. And because we haven't listened to the Most High, all these adverse things are happening. We got kicked out of our land. We went into slavery. People went and they got scattered. They were shunned all over the place. Yehuda and Benjamin was taken all over the four corners, and we're in the land of our captivity today. So, can you say this is fulfilled? I would reluctantly say it's fulfilled, simply because it wasn't positively closed. It was closed because of insubordination. So I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say fulfilled. I'm just going to say closed. I have to say closed because fulfilled is not the word that needs to be used. So I'm just going to say closed because we're not in our land. Oh. Okay. Law number 68, Leviticus 6 and 12, the high priest enter sanctuary only at prescribed times. That right there is, I'm going to say closed again. And this is all because of insubordination. We got kicked out of our land. I can't say fulfilled in good faith. Okay. Because something being fulfilled is something that Yeshua had to do. It's something that was done by the letter and fulfilled. So this was not fulfilled. The priests don't go in anymore because we're not in our land, because nobody listened for us to stay in the land. We got kicked out. So I'm going to add another possibility, and it's closed. So with this, there's an open, observed, fulfilled, and closed. I'm just going to say closed because of insubordination. Okay. All right. Leviticus 21 and 23, the priests with blemish come near the altar. Again, closed. I'm going to say this is closed, but it's also fulfilled, simply because you don't have to go to the altar to make any more sacrifices. Now, in regards to that, that's been fulfilled by the Yeshua. There's no more offerings. Yeshua was the one and only lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was before the world began with human beings spiritually. I already told you, spirit was here before flesh. So the Most High in his foreknowledge did everything before he put everything in place physically. Before he physically put time and space, people gonna be here at this time, your great grandfather gonna be there at that time. This, before he did all that, he did it before the foundation of the world, and then It was manifested physically. So the Most High already did this at a certain time, spiritually, and then physically, it was done at a certain time. So that was fulfilled. You see the difference between just being closed and being fulfilled? So not only is that closed, because there's no more sacrifices in regards to the priest. So there's no need to do any blemishes come near the altar. And that means any priest that has any dysfunctions, deformities, anything. The Most High don't want nobody near there. So I'm just gonna say fulfilled simply because there's no altar for a priest to go. Now, don't get it twisted. There are still children of Israel in the line of the priest that's praying for all the children. And it says that in the Testament of the 12. Just letting you know. Even though they're not here in the United States with us. Law number 70, Leviticus 21 and 17. The priests with a blemish not to administer in the sanctuary, it's the same thing, is fulfilled. Law number 71, Leviticus 21 and 18. The priests with temporary blemish administer not in the sanctuary, it's the same thing. I don't care if you had a wooden leg with a kickstand on it, a broken finger, whatever, you could not go up to the altar. Okay? You couldn't have a blemish, just like a sacrifice couldn't have a blemish. Now that was fulfilled and it's closed. Both. Law number 72, Numbers 18 and 3, Levites. What is this? Oh, are not to interchange with their functions. That's fulfilled. Simply because remember when I was doing Numbers and Deuteronomy, all the laws, specific laws, was given to the children of Israel in the line of the Levites to take care of the tabernacle and to take care of everything else that needed to be done. So the children of Levi had specific duties to do. From the ages of 20 and 50, they didn't have to fulfill those responsibilities. So that's fulfilled. Law number 73, Leviticus 10 and 9. Drunk persons may not enter the sanctuary or teach the Torah. Now, this should just be a given. Even for those people who are waking up in today's age, the Most High is not going to go to an alcoholic and give him the blessing of being a teacher or anything like that. Because before you can fulfill your blessing or move forward with your blessing, the Most High got to deal with you. Just like before you could talk to him, before you could see an angel, before you could do anything spiritual, you got to be elevated. So what I'm going to say in regards to Leviticus 10 and 9, which is law number 73. I'm going to read it and then I'll tell you what it is. Drunk persons may not enter the sanctuary or teach the Torah. Do not drink wine or straw drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. So I'm going to say this. It's open, but we don't have a place that we could go into the tabernacle. We're not in our own land, but the Most High said this is a statute forever. So when he establishes the law at the end of everything, then that will probably still be a law. Possibly. I don't know, but I'm gonna leave it open. Law number 74, Numbers 18 and 4. Did I already do 18? Yes. I'm gonna read it because it's already up there three times. This is the third time I'm actually saying the priest would not minister in the sanctuary. And it says, and they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. So basically, if you cannot be a priest, if there's something wrong with you, you cannot come up to the altar. If there's anything, your mouth is profane, if you got any disabilities, anything happening to you, anything going wrong with you, and don't put no strangers up there. That's what the whole law is. But they broke it down, you know, in three parts. So, like I said, I'm not going to say it's closed. I'm going to say it's fulfilled. No, I can't really even say fulfilled because there are Levites doing stuff. I'm going to say, because we're not in our land, we can't do it. But there are Levites that's still praying. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to leave it open. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave that open because it's not for me to say whether it's closed or open. I am not a Levite. All right. Number 75, Leviticus 22:2. An unclean priest not to administer in the sanctuary. We already talked about that 50 times. No, you're not supposed to do it. Speak unto Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they and that they profane not the holy name in those things which they hallow unto me, for I am the Most High. I'm gonna leave that open. Even though we all dismantled and dispersed, I'm gonna leave it open. Because it's not for me to close. Law number 76, Leviticus 21:6. A defiled priest not to administer the sanctuary, I'm gonna leave it open. I'm not even going to read it because it's the same thing. Law number 77, Numbers 5:2, a leper not into any part of the temple. Now, you remember, at those times, leprosy was a big thing. Now, we know that the children of Israel was melanated because they talk about how white the person is. Now, if you have leprosy, how can you tell whether somebody's white? I mean, if you have, if you're non-melanated, how can you tell whether somebody got leprosy or not? There's other things that happen with the skin, but if everybody was non-melanated, how can you tell they turned white? And that's what it says. So in that case, because it says, Miriam, when the Most High struck Miriam with leprosy, she was white as a ghost, as a sheet, as a whatever, because I can't remember as a what, but he said she was white as a, and I can't remember what, and she couldn't come into the congregation. So leprosy is a big thing. As a matter of fact, leprosy is coming back. So I'm going to keep reading and I'll tell you what it is. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that has an issue and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Now, let me say this. Today, there's cures for leprosy, but they have to know that it's leprosy. They are, or should I say treatments? I can't remember whether it's a cure or a treatment because I did do a reading from a news clipping. And I remember vaguely that they said there was a cure. They don't even call it leprosy. They call it something else now. But there's some type of treatment for it. So I'll just say that because I can't remember whether they said cure or treatment. I don't know. But they have to get it and be able to diagnose it. Now, I just say that to say that there's a treatment. But this would still stand if you are in a temple. Say like the Levites in Africa. They're not supposed to let no leper or whatever in there if there is leprosy over there. So I'm going to leave that open. Law number 78. No unclean person may enter the camp of the Levites. I'm going to leave that open. And it shall be when the evening come on, he shall wash himself with water. And when the sun goes down, he shall come into the camp again. So I'm going to leave that open because I'm not a Levite. Okay. There's some things that are obvious and some things that are gray area. So in regards to the gray area, I'm going to leave it open because I'm not a Levite. I can't determine that. Law number 79 is Exodus 20 and 25. Build not an altar of stones which were touched by iron. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. I'm gonna leave that open. Okay, I'm gonna leave it open. Okay. Law number 80. Exodus 20 and 26, not to have an ascent to the altar by steps. Neither shall thou go up by steps unto my altar, that your nakedness is not to be dis what to be discovered thereon. Look, I'm gonna say this. Now, the children of Israel are not supposed to be the sons of Zion are not supposed to be wearing women's clothes, and the daughters of Zion are not supposed to be wearing men's clothes. So if a man, a son of Zion, is a priest, the Most High don't want him to go up steps, because at that time, I guess there wasn't no underwear. They didn't have underwear. So the Most High didn't want you to go up no steps, because he didn't want all your business out to everybody. So I guess in this case, there's underwear here and people wear pants. So I'm just gonna say that's for Phil. Okay, because there's underwear now and pants. Okay. So, law number 81, Leviticus 6 and 13, not to extinguish the altar fire. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I'm gonna say this. I'm not gonna say this is fulfilled. I'm gonna say it's open, because during the time when the children of Israel was being conquered by the last world rulers, they ran up into the mountains and they did keep a fire going. But guess who put it out? Along with persecuting them. We know this from the Book of Maccabees, 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you read the Book of Maccabees, which at some point I will be uploading, you will see that they did all kinds of stuff to the children of Israel, including put the eternal fire out. So what I'm going to say in regards to that is that is supposed to be open, but because so many things happen, I'm just going to leave it open. Okay? Even though it's not no eternal flame anymore, I'm going to leave it open because it's not for me to close. So I'm going to keep going. Law number 82, Exodus 30 and 9, or for nothing but specific specified, which is specific incense, on the golden altar. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. You're not supposed to put anything on the altar that's not supposed to be there. Children of Levi. I'm gonna leave this open. I'm not a priest. We're not in our land. It's not for me to determine whether that's open or closed, because it's the priest. That's not my line's job. So I'm gonna leave it open and I'm move on. Law number 83, Exodus 30 and 32, not to make any oil the same as the oil of anointment. I'm gonna leave that open, but I'm gonna read it. Upon men's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. That's for the Levites. I'm gonna leave that open. Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna leave that open. Exodus, thirty and 32. Now, I already told you before that some of the laws come with Three and four stipulations, like the ones that I just read. There was a law that had three stipulations. I had to keep reading the law over and over just to let you know, because each law was broken down. This is the same case of that. 83 and 84 is within the same law, but there's different stipulations in the law. So I'm gonna read it again. Anoint none with special oil except for the high priest and the king. So you're not to make any special oil for no one else or nothing else but the Most High on the altar, and you're not supposed to anoint nobody else except for the priests and the kings. I'm gonna leave it open. It's not for me to close. That's why. Huh? Whether we could do it or not, it's not for me to close. I'm gonna leave it open. Law number 85. Exodus 30 and 37, not to make incense same as burnt on the altar of the sanctuary. I hate, the thing is this, I downloaded this stupid, well, I downloaded the law, and some of the writing in this law is gibberish, and some of it is not properly written. So it says not to make incense same as burnt on. Well, it doesn't make sense to me, so I'm gonna look it up in the Sefer. Okay, the actual law is from Exodus 30 and 34 to 38. So I'm gonna read 37 and 38, because we already know that you're not supposed to do any incense or anything like that. And it says 37, and as for the perfume which you shall make, and it's not perfume, it's actual oil, it's scented oil. Okay, in today's times, we say scented oil, but back then it said perfume. So, and as for the perfume which you shall make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. And I'm in the Sefer. It shall be unto you holy for Yahuwah. 38, whosoever shall make like unto that to smell there to shall even be cut off from his people. So the Most High is saying you're not supposed to be making no special oil for nobody else, not the same recipe that's put on the altar, and it's not supposed to be for nobody but the king and the priests, which most of the time the priests are the prophets. So that's what that is. Law number 68, Exodus 25 and 15, not to remove the staves from their ring in the ark. Oh, yeah, this is a big one. And I'm gonna say this is fulfilled, and I'm gonna tell you why in a minute. Hold on. All right. Not to remove the staves from the ring in the ark. The stave shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And I'm going to tell you this. When King David was moving the ark back and forth, and somebody made a mistake and touched the ark, the Most High killed him swiftly, just killed him dead. Why? Because the ark was too holy for anybody to touch. Now, when I was in Exodus and I read how the ark was put together, they put the four gold rings on each corner of the ark so they could put a specialized piece of wood through the ark rings so that it could be held. Nobody, and I mean nobody, was to touch this ark. That's how holy it was. Nobody was to touch the ark. And if you touched it, I don't even care if. Even if it was in good faith, you would die. So, law number 86, Exodus 25 and 15, is for the priests, because those are the only ones that's supposed to touch the wood that held the ark. Don't you remove these rings from the ark. Don't ever, 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 ever remove these rings from the ark. Now that's open. You know why? Because the ark still has the rings on it, even though the ark is not here. And I'm just going to tell you a little story before we move on. That's open, by the way. I said it's open, but I'm going to say it again. It's open. Now, people believe that the ark is still on earth. They swear by it. Most of the times it's the heathens and it's some Gentiles saying that they have it and this and that. But I assure you, it's not here. In the book of Barak, the Most High said he took the ark. See, people don't pay attention when they read. That's why I said, read for comprehension. Try to comprehend what you're reading. Okay? Be very careful about the things that you read and try to understand what's being said. Okay? The Most High told Ez, I mean, I'm going to say Ezra. The Most High told Barak that he was taking the ark. And he did. It is no longer on earth. There's another book that says that the ark is in the heavens. Okay? So the ark is not here. Nevertheless, the ark still has those rings on it. That's why I'm saying it's open. Okay. Moving on. Law number 87, Exodus 28 and 28. Not to remove the breastplate from the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may not be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosened from the ephod. Now, the ephod is like an apron. Okay? It's like an apron. That's what the priests wear. And they wear the breastplate that has the 12 stones of the children of Israel in it. That's what it is. Okay? So it's saying don't remove the breastplate from the ephod. I don't even know if the priests even have still the breastplates. I have no idea. So what I'm going to say is it's open because it's not supposed to be removed. So whether the heathens did something with it, they took it, they stole it, they boiled it down, whatever they did to it, they have to answer for that. I'm just going to say it's open. Okay? That's all I'm going to say, because that's the priests. That is the priest's job. I'm going to read this last one, and it's law number 88, Exodus 28 and 32. Make not any incision in the priest's upper garment, and there shall be an hole. A hole, oh gosh, in the top of it, in the midst thereof, it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, and as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it not be rent. Okay, now. A habergeon is a type of armor. It's like a sleeveless coat. So I'm gonna read it again. Law number 88, Exodus 28 and 32. Make not any incision in the high priest's upper garment, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the high priest's garment. In the midst thereof, and it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of scaled armor, that it not be rent, meaning ripped. So it has to be a special way that the priest's garment has to be. So I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna leave that open again. It's significant that the Most High did inform the priest to do X, Y, and Z. Now, because Yeshua now is the priest, the prophet, and the firstborn, one and only begotten, of the Most High. There's been a lot of changes. Nevertheless, I will say some things are open because I'm in the line of Judah, Yehuda. That I couldn't answer. Okay, it's too much gray area for me. Maybe somebody else could answer it. I wouldn't be able to answer it. So that's why I'm leaving it open. I know the priests still do prayers and stuff like that because it says it in the scriptures. That's why I say it. I don't just think of stuff to say without knowing what I'm saying. There are priests that still pray for us. It says that in the Book of Jubilees, and it says it in the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs. So that's how I know. But I will say this in regards to knowing more about what the priests do, that's not my line or area of expertise. And even if you did the homework and in regards to which line is which, I believe only the real true children of Levi know. Just like the children of Judah, when they start learning who they are, they know what they're supposed to do. I say that for that. In regards to that category, which was a really long category, by the way, okay, it was the temple. Yeah, the temple. We only did the temple. We didn't even do anything. Oh, we did blasphemy. Did we do blasphemy? I'm sorry. Wait, I'm looking. I'm looking. Yeah, we did blasphemy and we did the temple. So, that's all I'm going to do in these two categories because they were very long. But we still have much to deal with. And as we continue to go through these laws and they break them down, and if they're not complete or if they don't make sense to me, you know, I'm referring to the Sefer in regards to it, because there's some stuff maybe I should have just did it another way. But what I downloaded, some of the stuff is not correct. And I'm glad that I have enough wherewithal to check and do, you know, double checking while I'm reading. There's a lot of gray area in many of these laws, and it does call into question for many people what should be reserved, what's fulfilled, and what's open. But that's the beauty of it, just to understand that some things are still open, some things should be observed, and some things are fulfilled. While we're going through this together, and I'm reading this in the lecture, we are all learning and we are all rediscovering, and we are all keeping in mind that the laws must be followed. Those that are still open must be followed. Those that are observed, we will keep in the forefront of our minds. And those that are have been fulfilled by the Most High, we will know. And this is the reason and the point of it all. Several times within the scriptures, various people have pulled this the Torah out and have shown the Torah to the kings and stuff like that, and the children were lamenting because they knew when they start reading the laws that they were sinning. They knew. And just like today, there's a lot of things that a lot of people had no idea of. And I'm sure once these laws were are read, people are grasping for their pearls, honey. They clutching. They clutching their invisible pearls. Okay? And having heart failure because they thought that they was doing something to reverence the Most High, like making tattoos of whoever Jesus is, because I'm sure there's some children of Israel that got a Jesus on their arm, even though we don't know who Jesus is. Or they wearing a cross, or they doing whatever, and they find out that what you're doing is idolatry. Once they find that out, then they know, they're in the know that they shouldn't be doing these things. We are all in this together, you, me, and everybody else who's listening. And we got to get it together. We have to. We have to. We got to get it together. So, with that, I'm going to say, I hope that you're learning something like I'm learning something. I hope that you know that we all got to turn and do an about face We have to. It's no more playing. This is not a game. Okay? It's not a game. This is real life. We the children of Israel. We got to be more responsible. We have to. 'Cause if we're not, we're gonna get lost in the sauce. We at the end of the book, the 12th hour. That's where we are. We got to get it together, people. We have to. There's no more excuses, no more pussyfooting around, no more none of that. We have to be more responsible. With that, I'm going to say that I want you to enjoy your week. I want you to meditate on what's being said. Keep going into these lessons and learn. Learn how powerful what the Most High says is. Learn to find out what it means to you. Learn who you are in the Most High. When you start learning who you are, you will be able to gain the power and the wherewithal to walk in His will, be able to receive and conceive the power and authority that the Yeshua said that you will have. Walk in that, develop that, and you'll be a better person. You'll be a better soul. You'll be a better conscious. The Most High will be able to work with you. The devils won't be able to come near you because they everywhere. And even though we walk with a special angel, because the Most High says that, you still open to be antagonized and possessed. It just is what it is. And it's not like the movies, like you're gonna be doing all this gurgling and head turning and all that. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. Okay? It's so subtle. And it can be violent, but it possession and antagonization can be very subtle. Just as subtle as you looking in the mirror and not liking what you see. Just as subtle as you being okay your whole life, and then all of a sudden you feel like you just want to commit suicide. That's how subtle it is. And it's happening. It's happening. And I say this to say, the more that you lean towards the Most High, the more that He's going to lean toward you. And everything is relevant. Everything is relevant. So I want you to enjoy your day and the rest of your week. And I hope to see you on a Sabbath. You're loved. Okay, I'm a child of Zion. I love my brothers and my sisters. I need them. And I hope to see you there. Don't make me your guilty pleasure. Utilize these lessons. You know, make your soul and your spirit stronger by basking in the will and the word of the Most High. And until next time.
Hi, trying to contact me regarding a question, comment, or concern? Well, you got two ways of doing so. The first way is you can email me at cliffnoteqna@yahoo.com. I'll say it again. This is one word. Cliffnote, the letter Q, the letter N, the letter A, at yahoo.com. The second way is you can upload a question, concern, or comment on Spotify. The question section appears under the episode's description on Spotify. Send me your question and I'll definitely answer it. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Good to hear the word of truth from the Most High. But you know what's better? Hitting that follow button and hitting the small bell next to it to be notified of new content. You can also save a life by sharing this valuable content. Go ahead, save a life today. Thanks.
Don't make me your guilty pleasure. Hit that follow button and make that commitment. You will not be disappointed. And it's free. It doesn't cost nothing to hit that follow. Thanks.